good. It means fine or okay. It checks a box. But at Hyundai, good isn't good enough. Instead, they strive for better. And that's what you'll find available in Hyundai's cars and SUVs. Like technology that doesn't just connect your car to your phone, but allows it to do something new. That's better. Technology that lets you send and have your text messages read aloud and find your destination all at the sound of your voice. So you don't have to look down at your phone, even for a second, because a second is all it takes. At Hyundai, they demand better because you deserve better. It's in everything they do, including America's best warranty and Hyundai Assurance with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty. Better is the reason to buy Hyundai, and this is the reason to buy now. For a limited time, you can lease a 2017 Elantra for just $119 a month for 36 months with $2819 due at lease signing. That's right, just $119 a month. Stop by your local Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealer or visit buyhyundai.com today and see what makes Hyundai better. For more details, call 877-248-1585.
This week's most popular music. 25 years ago. 1992.
Number 3.
Mariah Carey, Can't Let Go.
Number 2.
Color Me Bad, All For Love. Number one song this week, 25 years ago in 1992, Michael Jackson, Black or White. It don't matter if you're black or
white. Allison is perfect. I mean, she'd never tell you that. She's humble and perfect. She likes everyone. She even likes her untidy roommate's weird guinea pig. Allison, wait, are you texting and driving? Allison, no, that's the exact opposite of what I was just saying about you. Why, Allison? Why? Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Voice of the Fan for over 25 years. We couldn't have done it without you, the Score listener. Thank you for 25 great years. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WJMK HD2 Chicago. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Scoreboard update.
From the Northwestern Basketball Update Studio, I'm Kevin Zipak. Join Coach Collins and the Wildcats when they return to Welsh Ryan Arena to host Minnesota tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Tickets on sale now at nusports.com. No high-profile firings, no bombshells, nothing on Jay Cutler. Just business as usual for Bears GM Ryan Pace and head coach John Fox this morning at their end-of-season press conference. Pace called the 3-13 season unacceptable, and when directly asked, refused to give any details on the future of Cutler, Alshon Jeffrey, or any specific player. Another big talking point from today, besides all the injury talk, patience.
I knew this wasn't an overnight fix, and I think you got to be careful with that sometimes. Sometimes, hey, there's a little bit of a panic on, oh, and then you start reaching for bad character guys or big contracts on you know, wrong players. I think we got to be calculated and measured why we're going through this, and we will be. Patience is hard. I get that. We got to prove it on the field.
That was Pace. John Fox went on to say that coordinators Dowell Loggins and Vic Fangio are intact for now. Offensive line coach Dave Magazu and assistant defensive backs coach Sam Garns, however, have been dismissed by the team. Chairman George McCaskey not present at the presser, but did briefly meet with the media afterward. You can also hear him here on The Score tomorrow morning. Don't miss George McCaskey on the Mully and Hanley show tomorrow at 8 o'clock a.m. A couple more NFL notes. Raiders head coach Jack Del Rio says that rookie quarterback Connor Cook will start Saturday's playoff game versus Houston, and the Detroit Lions announced that head coach Jim Caldwell will indeed return for next year. Moving to the Bulls, they visit the Cavaliers tonight in Ohio. There might be quite a few players out on both sides. Denzel Valentine is out for sure with an ankle sprain. Dwayne Wade is a game-time decision with left knee swelling. As far as Cleveland, LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Love, all questionable for tonight's game. Hockey, the Blackhawks have won just one of their last five games. Tomorrow night, though, they'll have Marian Hossa back when they host Buffalo at the United Center. Spencer Abbott was just recalled from Rockford yesterday. He'll be active as well. And finally, in baseball, Rajay Davis signed a one-year deal with the Oakland Athletics worth $6 million. This scoreboard update is brought to you by New Mail Medical Center. Discover the new you, newmailmedical.com. And don't miss the Progressive Insurance Chicago Boat, RV, and Strictly Sail Show, January 11th through 15th at McCormick Place. Visit chicagoboatshow.com. I'm Kevin Zipak, and you are listening to 670 The Score, celebrating 25 years of Chicago sports talk and the radio home of the world champion Cubs. This is Chicago's number one sports radio station, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago sports station.
Matt Abatacola.
Sports is life.
Dan Bernstein.
Sucking the joy out of sports.
On 670 The Score.
I'm honestly extremely disappointed in this season, but I'm honestly excited going forward. My message to Bears fans is simple. We're going to get better. We will improve. I hear you. But I also understand this is just talk. This meeting's just talk, and we got to show actions. We got to show results. I fully get that.
Obviously, 3-13, is not acceptable. The buck stops here. I think there's no doubt that, coming off of 6-10, we had higher aspirations. It just didn't happen. Looking hard at myself, all the coaches, everybody involved in football, there's no doubt we have to get better.
Yeah, you heard it here today on these airwaves. Bears general manager Ryan Pace and head coach John Fox, or is it general manager John Fox, head coach Ryan? I really can't tell anymore. You look from one to the other, and
this is a real treat right here. I just gotta tell you that this is
so Zach. That was the picture of George McCaskey and the fan that tells him, "Hang in there, you're doing a great job. We love your coach.
Keep your head up. We love your general manager. We love your coach."
That's just made up fan that he brings around with him.
It's gonna get better. Like, we believe that, George.
Little sock puppet that talks in his ear. It's all a problem. Well, Zach Zaidman is with us now in studio, and he took that all in today.
He's laughing. I love this.
No, it's just your Ryan Pace is outstanding.
It is pretty good.
It is really good. It is.
We'll never hear it, but it's really good.
It's really good, though. But he's, you want to root for Ryan Pace because I think he believes the stuff he says. I don't know if he knows his team sucks.
I think he has a fairly good idea that things are not going the way he initially planned when he took over as the general manager of the Bears. Listen, they didn't expect to have 9 wins over the course of 2 years. They got destroyed by the injuries. They keep saying that they don't want to talk about the injuries, but the reality is that they didn't have the continuity that you need in order to ascend, and that's because of the injuries. So it did play a role. I know there was one reporter today that asked specifically about the Tampa Bay game, because remember, the Bears were as healthy as they had been after that Vikings win at Soldier Field. They had the bye week. They were coming into that Tampa Bay game as healthy as they had been all year. But remember, during that game, over the course of the first half,
they lost like 3 or 4 guys, right?
They lost the entire right side of their offensive line in Kyle Long and Bobby Massey. So it's kind of tough to regroup from that. And in the meantime, the quarterback, and this happens, the quarterback just had one of his worst games as a Bear at the time with the turnovers. And the whole thing kind of snowballed. But I don't believe that this would have been a playoff team, because I said this back to you during the New England week when the Bears were scrimmaging against the Patriots. And at the time, you made a big deal about, boy, Zach doesn't seem really positive about the Chicago Bears.
It was a big deal because generally at a time when, even people who are sort of in between will give a team the benefit of the doubt, you cut them no slack at that point.
Well, you knew that you were watching something special on the other side of the field in the Patriots. And that's been proven. This is a team that's 14-2. They were able to endure playing without their starting quarterback, who may be one of the best of all time in Tom Brady.
No question.
They won with their backup quarterback. They won with their third string quarterback. They never skipped a beat, and they continued to win when Brady got in there, and he had an MVP season over the course of 12 games. But in regards to the Bears specifically, you wanted to see them grow, but they couldn't do it because of the injuries. So I think young guys learn a lot from veteran players. I mean, you saw the impact that Josh Sitton had on Cody Whitehair's ability to understand defenses and do the things that he needed to do to be successful on the offensive line.
Yeah, it's possible Cody Whitehair might have just been good.
Of course he was good, but I think you need good coaches, and they have good coaches.
They do?
They do, because I think the fact that they were able to stay competitive in these games with essentially third stringers across the board. I mean, there was a time there for the majority of the second half of the season where the Bears were operating without their starting quarterback, their starting receiving tandem, their starting tight end, and a makeshift offensive line, and yet they were still in games. I remember that there was a coach on the Giants after the Bears lost that tight one to the Giants in New Jersey during the season, that windy game.
Right.
And there was a coach on the Giants that went to one of the coaches on the Bears and said, you know, you guys had no business being in this game. It's a real credit to what you guys were able to do to be able to stick with us. And the Giants are a playoff team. The Bears clearly are not. And I think that's why you see Texas go out and get Stan Drayton. I think there are other coaches on this Bears staff that are not going to be around because other teams want to hire them.
Who?
You know, let's see what happens with the head coaching vacancies that exist right now in the NFL. Because first, let's get to the news. The news today was that the front office structure is staying as is. George McCaskey feels confident that Ted Phillips is the president, Ryan Pace is the general manager, that those guys can solve this problem and get the talent needed for this coaching staff to succeed. And John Fox today saying that as of now, Dow Loggins isn't going anywhere. Vic Fangio isn't going anywhere. Jeff Rogers, the special teams coordinator, isn't going anywhere. So this is the way they've decided to function. Now, I think
that some of those guys are going to go somewhere.
Well, here I don't believe Dowell's going anywhere. I think that they like him. They expressed extreme confidence in both Loggins and quarterbacks coach Dave Ragone.
I didn't get extreme. I got some middling confidence there where it was like, well, the rationale made no sense. Well, it was inconsistency and he didn't have any continuity, so that's injury blaming. So he wasn't bad because of injuries. And then they said, well, why are you confident he can develop a young quarterback? Well, look how many quarterbacks he used this year.
Why do you say extreme then? Why do you walk away with that?
Because it was Ryan Pace doing the talking, not John Fox, in regards to this specific question. They feel that the fact that you could get a guy off the street who wasn't even part of the mix in Matt Barkley at the beginning of the season, and the fact that he was able to play competitive games.
He was terrible.
The last two games when Alshon Jeffery came back, and that's a story for another time.
But they were able to use Matt Barkley for anything.
No, 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 no. That's you're confusing the point. What I'm trying to say is they feel that if they gave Ragone and Loggins a young quarterback to work with who has ability, that they can develop him. Because to me, that's a big part of the...
Because they got something out of Matt Barkley. Yeah, is he a starter? Ugh. No. Is he even a competitive backup? Possibly somewhere else. Ugh. But the fact that they got something out of a guy they just dragged off the street who hadn't played in 3 years.
Correct.
They feel confident they could do something with a guy who's actually played and actually has ability to play the position in the NFL.
I'm not buying what they're selling.
I did a lot of research on this. If you look at some of these young quarterbacks who did a nice job this season in year one as starters, whether it was Dak Prescott in Dallas, whether it was Carson Wentz in Philadelphia, Trevor Siemian working with the team in Denver. I think that, and they go through their ups and downs. That's just natural the way it works with young quarterbacks. But all of them, I thought this was interesting, all of them worked with former backup quarterbacks as their head coaches. And that's a big deal because when you're a backup quarterback in this league, you don't have a lot of time to prepare for an initial start because you never know when it's going to happen. And you have to process a lot of information in a very short period of time to be able to have success. And I thought Jason Garrett did a good job with Dak Prescott, obviously, in Dallas. All the situations were different. Doug Peterson and Frank Reich, the offensive coordinator, they did a nice job with Carson Wentz in Philadelphia and Gary Kubiak, a longtime backup in this league, where John Elway was the starter with the Broncos. He did a nice job making sure that Trevor Siemian was able to be proficient during his first season as a full-time starter. You need to have an infrastructure in place in order for a young quarterback to succeed. So I think that...
I just don't think they do.
Well, yeah, they do. So
they think they do.
And that to me is important.
Maybe. Or they say they think they do, which doesn't mean they think they do.
If Ryan Pace didn't believe it, I mean, you heard him today. He wasn't embellishing. So,
he also isn't going to tell Fox who to hire and fire.
No, but if he felt that he didn't have the infrastructure in place, I don't think he would have said it quite the way that he said it.
You know, let me ask you, though, because you're around this team all the time, and I want to get your assessment of it, because I'm willing to cut them a little slack with the injuries. There were some deficiencies. Play calling was an issue. The amount of passes to run plays when you had the ability to run, that's a problem. Okay, but I think the injuries really wiped them out, and it's hard to evaluate the job that Dow Loggins did. Yeah, again, did he have some weaknesses? Of course, but injuries really killed the team. So I'm one guy that's willing to cut them a little slack because of the injuries.
Yeah, see, and you were saying that Matt Barkley is terrible. I would submit that, let's go to Detroit, a game against a playoff team on the road, tough place to play, obviously, and they had that game won. Matt Barkley threw two monster passes late in that game that were taken back by penalty.
But he rolled up all these yards against umbrella defenses after they're trailing. But I mean, just there were so many factors in there.
Of course, just because he
can stand and throw a ball doesn't mean he's good.
No, they're not talking about his ability. They're talking about the coaching staff being able to take a guy who probably isn't very good and is able to actually achieve something at some point
with a guy that
isn't very good. So I want to ask. So, I have a lot more belief in this. Give me your assessment then. Because I don't believe this is an actual 3-win team when they're healthy. I don't believe they're a playoff team or are going to contend for a Super Bowl this year had they stayed healthy. So where are they when you look at this roster?
They are about 8 to 10 impact players away from being able to compete for a division title, which is what you want. You want to be able to win your division so you get into the playoffs. So they want to do it on a consistent basis so it's not once.
Because they finished now 3 years in a row, last place?
Yes.
That's bad, right?
That's not good.
And 8 to 10 seems like a lot. 8 to 10 players.
Now, some of them may be on the roster and are ready to take that next step, but here's what has to happen. For example, you look at Leonard Floyd. I think anyone who watched Leonard Floyd this season, you see the special talent. But he has to put the work in the offseason to get his body right where it can handle a 16-game NFL season. That's part one. Part two is the ability to play disciplined defensive football, meaning you have
to... knock a ball out of the air every once in a while?
Well, first
get a ball on the ground every two games.
And that comes with reps, though, too.
Hold on.
That comes with being talented. That comes with being a badass, and they don't have any of those guys.
Let's get to Leonard Floyd first, and then we'll get to Dan's point about knocking the ball away and taking it away. With Floyd specifically, he's got to keep his head up. You got to look at what you're hitting, because he had two concussions in his first year in the NFL. And the Bears believe, and both times, it's because he's so intent on getting to the play and just wreaking havoc that he's not looking at
what
he's
saying. He's not thinking yet.
And he rammed his head both times into Akeem Hicks.
Thought he died.
It's nothing to laugh at. I mean, that's a serious problem. So they feel that from a fundamental standpoint, if they can teach him to be a little bit more disciplined and get his technique right, that he will be able to ascend a little bit. In terms of the takeaways, Ryan Pace, very honest today, said that's on him. He's got to get players in that secondary who can take the ball away. They don't have enough playmakers in that secondary. You know, you look at all the playoff teams in the NFL, Dan, they all have
better football players.
And that's
Haven't flushed draft after draft after draft down the toilet like this team has.
That is why this offseason is it for this regime. Because if they swing and miss this offseason, now here's the good news. They have a top five pick in every single round. They also have top five salary cap money available to them. So if they wanted to, if they want to tag Alshon Jeffrey, they can do it and then go out and make other moves. It doesn't destroy your team. But they have to correctly identify. I thought they had a good draft this year. You know, I think Leonard Floyd can play. We know that Cody Whitehair can play. You know that Jordan Howard can play. I think Nick Kwiatkowski can be a player.
He's a guy. But I think a player. He can be a guy on your team.
But you also have to have guys, though.
I know, but you can't have the head coach talking about Nick Kwiatkowski if you go 3-13.
It's me talking about Nick Kwiatkowski, not the head coach.
He mentioned it. He couldn't wait to. He's a guy.
But I'm talking now, not the head coach. You got to get him out of your head for a little bit. You know, I know he's an unsympathetic figure when he's in front of the microphone, and it's hard to root for him. I do think he's the perfect guy for this rebuilding job.
Why?
Because he's had success everywhere he's been, taking over a bad team. Right.
Anytime now.
Zach, I want to ask about Alshon, because we had Brad Biggs on earlier in the show, and I asked about the using the tag again for Alshon. I'm in favor of that. He's young enough. He's talented enough, not at $17 million. I'm okay with that because of their cap space. And the fact that you have to have some legit wide receivers if you're going to actually do anything. I think he is one. I'm fine with doing one more year and seeing if he can prove himself. Because I still think he has years left in this league where he can be a productive wide receiver. I'd hate to see him go somewhere and be productive elsewhere when you could keep him here for one more year. And it's one more year. If it's one more year where he's not productive, fine. Then you move on. But you can do it and keep him here without signing him to a long-term deal.
If you tag Alshon Jeffrey, is he going to be here for the entire offseason?
No.
Then how are you getting better? How is that?
They don't trust him. They never trusted him, and they know he doesn't want to be here.
Can you require him to be here? Can you ask him to train?
with your team?
Remember, the offseason is voluntary. And if you tag him, players don't want to be tagged. They want long-term deals. Now, if he gets a long-term deal, he better be here. But part of the problem that you have with Jeffrey is this. Everything was on the line for him this year. Everything. And he still missed four
You
games.
Heard Fox say it in his foot. Your best ability is your availability.
he missed four games, but it was the first time that he had missed because of injuries for the Bears.
But it doesn't matter.
I know. He was a team captain, and he got popped for PEDs. And
that you can't have that happen because that's on the player. Now, the other thing that I look at is, who's your quarterback? Because Alshon Jeffrey was a terrific player when Jay Cutler could just throw the ball up, and as a basketball player, because he had the height and the leaping ability, he could make the catch. But when you had more of a timing offense with guys like Brian Hoyer and Matt Barkley, and one of those guys may end up being your quarterback as a bridge guy as you get the young guy ready,
right?
Assuming you're going to draft
the guy. So has Alshon Jeffrey played his last game for the Bears?
There's a real possibility that may have happened.
I bet yes, and I don't think that really has changed for weeks.
Now, to be fair, Ryan Pace went out of his way to say very nice things about Alshon Jeffrey in the press conference today. Same thing happened a year ago. They tagged him when a lot of people thought that Alshon could leave. I think that they love the fact that Jeffrey went out of his way to say that the Bears will be a Super Bowl champion next season. As crazy as that sounds, I don't think Fox is laughing. And I think it was a rallying cry, from what I understand, in the meeting room on Monday. The
You're
day after 3 the season.
13. You don't get rallying and cries.
But you heard Fox say today, because the question was asked.
You got to think it to believe it.
The Score's very own Chris Emma asked Ryan Pace what he thought of the comments in regards to Alshon Jeffrey guaranteeing a Super Bowl victory next season,
which seems
ludicrous. And, you know, Pace started talking about how he liked it, and Fox couldn't
get. What did that sound like?
He said he liked it.
Oh, come on. All right,
hey, dude, I love what Alshon said.
The long form of this is so good. You're teasing us.
But then Fox couldn't wait to chime in and talked about how you have to, before you do anything, you got to believe it. So he liked that message. Mm-hmm. He also said
believe I'm an airplane.
Yeah.
But you know, I could jump out of that window and I could believe it all I want.
I think there are a lot of people here at the Score that would love to watch mm-hmm. you
attempt
that. Watch
this. I'm an airplane. Here
Most
I go.
Are in this room.
Off I go.
Yeah. Yep. But the other thing in terms of the news, thought it was really interesting that they're not just dismissing the fact that they had all these injuries, that they are going, they spent a lot of money when this regime took over. They spent a lot of money revamping their sports science. All the stuff in the weight room was changed with their strength coordinator. They brought in a new head athletic trainer.
But some of these are broken bones, though. I understand with some of the conditioning or stuff, but a concussion, you can't do anything. You can't get your body in shape to avoid concussion.
You can't prevent the injury that Kevin White, when a guy lands, you can't prevent what happened to Zach Miller when.
Or Danny Trevathan. You can't prevent your patella tendon.
Right, but the hamstring stuff you can that hampered guys throughout the course of the season.
They feel that they have had an overwhelming number of injuries over the last 2 years. Now, one of the things that John Fox told Jeff Joniak last week on the coach's show was that they were now going to change the way they go about doing their conditioning tests. Usually you just do a conditioning test at the start of training camp. Now they're going to start, the entire offseason program is going to begin with a conditioning test.
So show up ready to go.
It's because you have in the neighborhood of 100-plus days from now until the start of the offseason program. He feels that some guys have slacked off during that period in time. So he wants to make...
lying around and smoking weed doesn't get you ready for a conditioning test? Come on. Now, what are you going to tell us next?
I don't believe he said that. That is you inferring something that I don't think he said. But the point is that he feels people can be in better shape at the beginning of the offseason program.
I think we all can, Zach.
So, yeah. I mean, obviously...
Tell him to quit lying around and smoking weed all offseason.
Do you think Jay Cutler...
I'll give you an example.
Go ahead.
I'll give you an example. Jordan Howard, a lot of people, this has been a popular topic of conversation. You guys said it as I started the show in regards to Dow Loggins. Hey, why don't they run the ball more? Well, I don't think Jordan Howard was ready to carry the full load this season as a fifth-round pick. I don't think he expect you didn't train that way. I talked to him about this late in the year, and he said one of his big offseason goals is to get himself in the kind of shape where he doesn't wear down and the coaches can trust him late in games and they don't have to rest him here and there in order to get the most out of him. He also said one of the big things he needs to do is work on catching the ball out of the backfield, something he was not very good at Indiana. And there were a number of opportunities where he probably could score touchdowns in those situations. And that's something that he's going to work on.
Has Jay Cutler played his last game with the Bears?
I believe so. Now, the question is, how do they say goodbye? Will it be via trade or do they just flat out release him? Cutler wants to continue.
I think a pack of smokes in the door. There
no,
you go.
That's an online
oh,
thing.
Oh, it is? Okay, it's not real.
Cutler, by the way, ahead of schedule in his rehab. He always
says. That's
great
for his next team, then.
And he does want to play, which was an announcement to the rest of the NFL.
I hope he goes and wins the Super Bowl next year.
If you like Jay Cutler, give the Bears a call.
That's Zach Zaidman. Thank you, Zach.
You got it, dude.
Matt Abaticola, Dan Bernstein, Hub Arkish at the top of the hour on The Score.
Bears GM Ryan Pace and head coach John Fox face the media with their plan for the offseason as heard live on The Score.
The only thing positive about 3-13 is draft order. We're going to have good currency in the draft with the third pick throughout the draft, and we're going to need to make good decisions in those areas.
For breaking Bears news throughout the offseason, keep it here on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's home for Bears fans. Brought to you by your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers. Want a better car? Head to Hyundai.
This is Jim Rome of the CBS Sports Minute, brought to you by ADT, protecting what matters most for over 140 years. Why does it feel like a bad thing for a team to announce that their starting quarterback is starting? I'll tell you why. Because that starting quarterback is one Brock Allen Osweiler. Let me break that down in terms of his numbers. 15 touchdowns, 16 interceptions, 15 starts, all for just $72 million. They're currently sitting with probably the worst quarterback situation of the weekend, and both the Dolphins and the Raiders are starting backups. We're here because Tom Savage suffered a concussion in the second quarter of a season finale against the Titans. Now he's being sent through protocol, and the Texans have to go with Osweiler. Brock Osweiler is basically a 6'7" Chad Henne, only with a lot more cash in his pockets. I'm Jim Rome.
It's Matt Spiegel. Hey, now that the new year is here, people everywhere have resolved to make 2017 a better, healthier year. A great way to start is by getting a good night's sleep. But for those of us who suffer from sleep apnea, it can be difficult to get the restful sleep you need. If you or a loved one have sleep apnea and can't get relief from CPAP, there is another treatment option available. It's called Inspire. Inspire is a sleep apnea solution that doesn't require a mask or a hose. Inspire works inside your body with your natural breathing process. It's a small device implanted under the skin that delivers mild stimulation to keep your airway open while you sleep. Inspire is FDA approved and currently being offered in over 100 leading medical centers across the country. So start the new year off right. The freedom to sleep like everyone else is just a click away. Visit inspiresleep.com to learn more, review important safety information, and to find a doctor in Chicago who can help you determine if Inspire is right for you. That's inspiresleep.com.
Do you want a solid degree in criminal justice, political science, or public administration? Do you want to study at the school that's located at the heart of government? If you want this and more, choose the right path forward at the University of Illinois Springfield. You'll get the education that you expect and the size that's right for you at the University of Illinois Springfield. Learn more on how to apply. Click on the banner or go to uis.edu/insideuis to learn more on how to apply.
Week's most popular music. 42 years ago, 1975.
Number three.
Paul McCartney and Wings, Junior's Farm.
Number two.
Barry White, You're the First, the Last, My Everything.
My everything.
And the number one song this week, 42 years ago in 1975. Elton John, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
CBS Friday. Take a trip to paradise with the Hawaii 5-0 team.
It's time, boss.
The weather is hot, but the action is hotter.
Target's on the move.
He's headed right to you.
Catch the wave for the ride of your life.
This wasn't a robbery. It was an execution.
We're going to find this guy.
Hawaii 5-0 is oh so good.
Don't trivialize my suffering.
What are you going to do? You're going to shoot me?
I considered it.
You're unbelievable.
CBS Friday.
Book him down.
It sounds excellent.
Or stream it live or on demand.
popular music. 30 years ago, 1987.
Number 3.
Gregory Abbott, Shake You Down.
Oh, you did.
Number 2.
Duran Duran, Notorious.
No, no, Notorious.
And the number 1 song this week, 30 years ago in 1987. The Bangles, Walk Like an Egyptian.
Walk like an Egyptian.
Every evening, you'll see the experience.
We have a rare look at what U.S. forces are facing.
That noise you can hear is debris raining down on top of us.
Every evening, you'll see the integrity.
What does that level of sophistication tell you about who might be responsible?
Every evening, you'll find understanding.
When you went into the cafe, what did you see? He shot 3 of them, just like that.
Original reporting, the CBS Evening News with Scott Pelley, only on CBS.
This week in music history. This week in 1935, Elvis was born. Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin was born this week in 1944. Rod Stewart in 1945. This week in 1964, Ring of Fire by Johnny Cash became the first country album to go to number 1 on the U.S. album chart. This week in 1968, Johnny Cash played a show at Folsom Prison for his iconic live album. Diana Ross made her last appearance with the Supremes this week in 1970.
CBS Thursday. The outdoors are so in.
Can you guess the number 1 zombie killing tool?
Remembering zombies don't exist?
Joel McHale stars in the new comedy, The Great Indoors.
Who could say no to that?
We're the only thing tougher than dealing with millennials.
You need us, because you're old at life.
I already regret this.
Is working with them.
I am not going to stay shackled to a desk with a bunch of kids who think North Face is a celebrity baby.
Get into The Great Indoors. CBS Thursday, or stream it live or on demand.
Most popular music. 17 years ago, 2000.
Number 3.
Brian McKnight, Back at One.
We'll start back at one.
Number 2.
Santana featuring Rob Thomas, Smooth.
Give me your heart and make it real.
And the number 1 song this week, 17 years ago in 2000. Christina Aguilera, What a Girl Wants.
What a girl wants.
All right, let's go.
Storks know how to keep kids safe. Do you?
What? Oh, my gosh, you don't know.
I know.
You don't. Oh, man, you laugh when you're uncomfortable.
No.
Making sure your child is in the right car seat is one of the steps to safer travel.
I will rock this.
You will rock this.
To know for sure that your child is in the right car seat for their age and size, visit safercar.gov/the right seat.
Cool, cool, cool. Very cool, very cool.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, and of course, companionship. Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
Fantastic cat. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Scoreboard Update.
From the Northwestern Basketball Update Studio, I'm Kevin Zipak. Join Coach Collins and the Wildcats when they return to Welsh Ryan Arena to host Minnesota tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Tickets on sale now at nusports.com. No big surprises this morning at Hallis Hall as Bears GM Ryan Pace and head coach John Fox addressed the media for their end of regular season press conference. Pace said just about what you'd expect. The team's 13-loss season, unacceptable. They lack stability and the litany of injuries, which they brought up nearly 24 times. Well, that's no excuse either. The GM was also noncommittal on the future of players such as Alshon Jeffrey and Jay Cutler when asked directly. So Pace has a lot of work to do this offseason. Where to begin?
Right now, it starts with first, David, analyzing our current roster. Your offseason plan is flawed if you don't identify your roster and step back, take a deep breath, and really say, okay, where are our current needs at? You know, because I think there's some flaws in that, right? And I think you can sit here and make excuses for guys or whatnot. We got to look at that with a real honest, open approach. We only won 3 games this year, and it's not just because of the injuries.
Both offensive line coach Dave Magazoo and assistant DB coach Sam Garns were dismissed this morning, but John Fox said at the presser today that his coordinators are intact, that in reference to offensive coordinator Dowell Loggins and defensive coordinator Vic Fangio. Chairman George McCaskey was not present at the press conference, but he did meet with the media briefly afterward. You can also hear him here on The Score tomorrow morning. George McCaskey will be on with the Mully and Hanley show tomorrow at 8 o'clock a.m. Moving to basketball, the Bulls will be in Cleveland tonight to take on the Cavs. Dwayne Wade questionable with swelling in his left knee. Denzel Valentine did not make the trip. He's out for sure. And the Cavs have injury issues of their own. LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Love all questionable as well. Finally, in hockey, the Blackhawks try to break out of their slump tomorrow night when they host Buffalo at the United Center. Joel Quenneville said today that Marian Hossa will return. He's not played since December 20th. The Chicago Steel take the ice on Friday and Saturday nights at the Fox Valley Ice Arena in Geneva. Affordable family fun entertainment. Starting at $10, visit ChicagoSteelHockeyTeam.com for tickets. I'm Kevin Zipak, and you're listening to 670 The Score, celebrating 25 years of Chicago sports talk and the radio home of the world champion Chicago Cubs. This is Chicago's number one sports radio station, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Thanks, Zipak.
Thank you. And as you mentioned, George McCaskey will be live in studio tomorrow. Brian Hanley and David Haw, who is going to be sitting in for Mike Mulligan, who is on vacation. You heard Ryan Pace mentioning David's name, directing an answer to his question at him directly at the press conference today. So in studio, George McCaskey tomorrow to talk about the fans with whom he converses as he walks through the parking lot. You know what I have for you?
For me, like specifically, yeah. Or are you talking about the audience?
I think you'd get a kick out of this. Now, this is sometimes...
And if I don't?
I don't really care, actually.
That's a shocker.
I got a note from a friend of mine.
Okay.
Who had a question.
Alrighty.
And he said, I believe the New England Patriots have thrown three interceptions all season. I think it's two, right? Didn't Tom Brady, can you check? I believe it was two picks all year.
Sounds good, though.
And he said, I recall that hearing or reading the record for fewest in a season was five. So this was before the end of the season. So obviously they set that record. He said the Patriots have forced three safeties this season. And he asked me, I'm curious whether any NFL team has ever forced more of the same number of safeties as the number of interceptions it had thrown over the course of a season.
I'm going to say this is probably the first time it's happened.
Well, and he's a Boston guy and a big Patriots fan. So I said, you know, I would never know the answer to that, nor would I have be facile enough with a database to be able to find it. So I referred this to our friend Scott Lindholm, Scott in Davenport. And he said that he can track safety data back to 1994. And he looked at the teams with three-plus safeties in a year since then, according to the same with the number of interceptions they threw. New England is it's not even close. Not even close. The 49ers had four safeties in 1996. They threw 19 picks. And the closest we come to it would be the 1997 Kansas City Chiefs, who had three safeties and only threw 10 interceptions. But this is indeed an absolute first. The New England Patriots with fewer interceptions thrown than safeties forced. That's insane. That is absolute craziness to think that they did that. And it's just that they continue to do this as they keep turning over personnel. They keep going through different guys. They keep finding different people to do different jobs, and they keep setting records. And I don't think this has anything to do with inflated or deflated balls. It just has to do with them being better at football than other teams are. But that's pretty astounding.
You want to hear something amazing? We were looking at this yesterday. We were talking about red zone interceptions.
Okay.
For quarterbacks.
Yes.
Your guy, Matt Barkley.
Why is he my guy?
Because he's your guy. And this is profootballreference.com, three red zone interceptions this year in 31 attempts.
Okay.
You think that's good or bad?
Three red zone interceptions in 31 attempts. I think any red zone interceptions are bad because you think you'd be more careful. I'd say it's probably bad.
Yeah,
but it might
really
not
bad.
Be. Yeah, yeah.
No, it's really bad.
Yeah.
The most was Ryan Fitzpatrick with six. Drew Brees had three.
Yeah, but he had six and way more opportunities, right?
A 64 almost.
Oh, okay. So it's about the same.
It's about the same. Drew Brees, 3-113. Stafford, 3-89. Joe Flacco, 3-76. Alex Smith, 3-64. So just looking at some quarterbacks who didn't throw any. Aaron Rodgers, 0-108. Andrew Luck, 0-72. Jameis Winston, 0-71. And I don't believe in his career so far as a pro, he's thrown a red zone interception yet.
Wow.
I don't believe so.
It just says something about general judgment.
Marcus Mariota, 0-54. Russell Wilson, 0-74. Andy Dalton, 0-72. But pretty impressive, though, for young guys like Winston and Mariota to not throw any.
Yeah, I think it says something about, I guess it's sort of like when you, as a golfer, if you're standing on a tee and you look and there's nothing but water to your left.
You hit it into the water.
No, but you say to yourself, I might not hit the, but whatever I'm going to, whatever happens
I'm not
here,
going in the
there's
water.
No right. way. I'm blocking that out. There's no possible way I'm going to go in the water here. I might spray it right. I might work my way down through all those trees down there, but I am not drinking Merlot. I'm not hitting it in the water. So you would think at some point a quarterback gets in the red zone, and whatever that computer is in his head, I'm going to throw it 6 feet over this guy's head. I'm going to throw it through the uprights.
I'm not throwing an interception.
I'm not throwing an interception here. Right. And some guys are just able to do it. And other guys just can't. They'll still say, oh, wait, open guy, throw, damn it. No, that's like the Cutler thing sometimes, where you just, they can't do it. They can't quite figure out that you've got to override some of that stuff.
Ken Rosenthal is tweeting about...
What? Baseball things?
The White Sox.
Yes.
And Jose Quintana.
Yes, yes.
He just tweeted 2 minutes ago.
I've got it. Sources. White Sox engaged in daily trade discussions on Quintana. Pirates, Astros involved, possibly others. Yankees appear long shot. Sources add, White Sox firm on Quintana's value, also could move him at deadline. Yankees seem less willing than others to move top prospects.
All righty.
Then don't trade with them.
Right.
The phone call over if there are no top prospects involved. You want to talk Gleyber Torres, we're talking Jose Quintana. All right, interesting stuff. I'm glad they're still moving along because it would make sense at this point to move him now that the market has been set. I'm Dan Bernstein. That is Matt Abaticola. We will talk to Hub in a little bit, and we still have another pair of tickets to give away for the big day tomorrow at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage here on the 9th floor, the Terry Bohr's final broadcast farewell party. You could be there if you are the lucky recipient of these tickets when I give you the cue to call. Could come at any time between now and 6 on the score.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, you're listening to the number one sports station in Chicago. Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Brought to you by your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers and the Hyundai all-wheel drive SUVs.
Hey there, it's Matt Abaticola.
And Dan Bernstein.
And our friends over at Mattress Firm are clearing out all their 2016 models to make room for their 2017 inventory during their year-end closeout sale.
Big chance for you. Big opportunity. That's 50% off select floor models. Up to 60% off accessories while supplies last. They got to get stuff out so they can get the new stuff in. And for a limited time, you check out the Tempur-Pedic mattress and the Tempur-Ergo adjustable base. At least check it out. At least do me the favor, do yourself the favor, seeing what it's like, the Tempur-Pedic with the adjustable base, because for a limited time, you can get a free $500 gift with a purchase.
Right, and they also have no interest financing for 5 years, so it's a great opportunity to take a look at maybe something you normally wouldn't, maybe something you look at it and say, God, it's just too much for my budget. Well, maybe it might not be now. You look at no interest financing 5 years, and you break it down per night, as Dan always does, and say, would you be willing to spend X per night in order to sleep on this amazing bed?
And the answer is going to be yes, especially if somebody asks you while you're lying there, because you almost fall into a trance, like, yes, how much is that
I think that's their secret.
Yes, I'll do whatever it takes.
Like, you know, a sleepy trance.
I'll do whatever it takes to have this bed so you don't miss these savings. Up to 50% select Tempur-Pedic, Beautyrest Black Hybrid, Hampton and Rhodes floor models. This is the time where they're going to cut really, really good deals.
And listen, you're not going to find a lower price on Mattress Firm. You find the same mattress set and they're going to beat it by 10%. Just bring in that ad and they will do it for you right there. Also, ask them about their Sleep Happy Guarantee. They want you 100% satisfied. They are the sleep experts. So go to mattressfirm.com, find the location nearest you, and take advantage of the year-end closeout sale. It's Mattress Firm. Save money.
Sleep.
CBS Wednesday.
Hello, residents. This is Angel's Memorial.
At Angel's Memorial Hospital.
Let's move.
When the patients outnumber the resources, it's called Code Black.
The vitals are dropping.
Why isn't it working?
Ready?
1, 2, 3.
Academy Award winner Marsha Gay Harden and Rob Lowe.
You with me on this?
Game on.
Code Black. CBS Wednesday. Or stream it live or on demand.
This week in music history. This week in 1977, the Police had their first rehearsal. They started recording their debut album this week in 1978. This week in 1979, Canadian rock band Rush were named the country's official ambassadors of music. Cyndi Lauper became the first female recording artist since 1967 to be nominated for 5 Grammy Awards this week in 1984. This week in 2009, Black Eyed Peas singer Fergie married actor Josh Duhamel.
Every evening, you'll see the experience.
We have a rare look at what U.S. forces are facing.
That noise you can hear is debris raining down on top of us.
Every evening, you'll see the integrity.
What does that level of sophistication tell you about who might be responsible?
Every evening, you'll find understanding.
When you went into the cafe, what did you see? We shot 3 of them, just like that.
Original reporting. The CBS Evening News with Scott Pelley. Only on CBS.
CBS Monday. If there's one thing the Scorpion team knows.
I have an idea.
Are you certain about this?
It ain't easy.
Remember when you called me a nerd before? Get ready to apologize.
Being a genius.
What is the point if we don't stop what's bad in the world?
Brace yourself.
Things are about to get crazy.
You passed crazy a long time ago.
For a brainstorm.
Can you guarantee we'll be successful?
I can guarantee that we're the only shot those people have.
Scorpion. CBS Monday. Or stream it live or on demand. 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
This is hard for her. Every loss is painful. But she supports what we're doing. She's on board. Like every Bears fan, she wants more wins. And we intend to get them for her. I'm sure there's restlessness. There's discontent. There's unease. People want to see their Bears do better. But I'd like to invite you, David, to walk around the South lot with me opening day next year. See what they have.
No.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
Yeah, hard pass on that.
Yeah. It's a definite no.
No, thanks. And look, I spent years as part of my Bears day covering the team, walking the South lot. That's where the media parking was. And we'd park behind this little area, and I would walk through a lot of the longtime tailgaters at their big productions. And it wasn't just, you know, brats and burgers. The guys would be grilling marinated swordfish in green salsa. They're always asking me to come over, try something. But I don't see, if those are the same people, if it's the same people, I know about the way they felt about the team and where their football sensibilities were and what they used to say.
Right.
I don't think they're complimenting George McKenzie. Hey, go
keep
get
your
him.
Head up. It'll get better for you.
Coach, it doesn't have a whole lot of
it sounds all friends. It sounds all cute and folksy and stuff, you know, like, hey, you know, my mom's mad about it and I'm mad about it and we're fans too. And
I love picturing her just swinging a cane around. Listen, you bastards.
But I don't really want that from you as my owners.
Yeah,
you know, I want you to hire good people that win football games and win championships, because you haven't done that for a long time.
High five each other.
I don't
in
care
the box
if you're a fan. I don't care if it makes you mad.
Yeah,
you know, show it to me then. You know, I mean, you're also the same group that brought in Mark Trestman and Phil Emery 4 years ago.
Yeah.
It's not that long ago. You don't go to the playoffs enough.
Don't win enough championships.
Your team president has gone. I mean, he's been here 18 years and what, 4 playoff trips? 5 maybe? I don't care if you're a fan.
I
don't care if she's upset and she's old.
This is what bothered me today about the way they conducted the press conference. Everybody's, or our offices are very, where all this, the difficulties brought us together and these tough times have made us closer. I don't care how close
fans
you are
care,
to
right.
each other. Nor do I think it has anything to do with the makings of a successful team.
It doesn't.
Here's the thing. When Ryan Pace was hired, the entire idea of it, let's go back to your, you know, Ernie Accorsi and the dead animal on his head and the opinions that it had, because it's important. It weighs in on everything. So he was the guy. Ryan Pace was going to be in charge of all things football. This is it. He's your top football guy. It's on him. And there he's sitting next to John Fox. And we still don't really know, even though they said, well, yeah, I'm in charge and all that. But no, Fox made it very clear. But the way that was all handled, that it isn't what it was. It's not between those two sharing more responsibility. And I would have felt better if Fox wasn't there at all because it never adds anything. It doesn't offer anything, doesn't provide any insight, any information. All it does is do what he does best, diffuse. You can't pin anything on anybody. And it's like when I brought this up before, I got notes from some people in law enforcement saying there's a reason that you don't interrogate co-suspects in the same room. There's a reason that you spread them out and make sure that their stories are checking out. Right. There's the reason why. And it's just people might be more apt to say something when someone else isn't there. I just wish that Fox wasn't there and this was all about Pace. And somebody could say, why are you not firing John Fox? It's a simple question.
Right.
Why are you not firing him? Why is this okay? Why is it okay for you as general manager? And you talk about what job your coach has done. How is he? What is the evidence? What's the evidence of this culture? What's the evidence of advancing, of building? Like,
well, when John Fox said today, you know, the buck stops here and it's on me. Okay.
How so?
Then the question should have been to Ryan Pace. Well, then why is he still here? But they can't ask that because they're sitting next to each other. That's the issue.
And the stuff about when he said we can't beat ourselves. What about your freaking clock management? We can't beat ourselves. Your coach.
I don't even know what you're talking about there.
Oh, yeah. What do you mean, Dan Durkin? I don't know what you're talking about. You're the same guy that's come out after multiple games talking about answering questions of clock management issues. And now you've got some made-up guy who's doing it all for you. It's just you could have said Ryan Pace is in charge, and then Ryan Pace is going to answer questions by himself, and he sits down, and it's a perfectly fair question. Why are you retaining John Fox as head coach?
Do other teams have, you know, and they'll probably say, oh, you know, we just came out of a two-year window with a previous coach, and now we're all in our second year.
Okay, maybe there's a good reason.
Then say it.
Answer it.
Right.
There's nothing hard to answer.
Do other teams have similar formats where you have a head coach and a GM, or is there a team president and a GM, or is it just the GM?
It depends on if the team president is considered the top football guy, and in some organizations he is, and in some organizations he's not. So there's no reason to be asking football questions like when to Ted Phillips because he can't answer.
Like when the Packers finish their season, whenever that is, will Mike McCarthy be there with, who is it? Is it Ted Thompson? Mm-hmm. Is it, okay, will Ted Thompson be there alone? Is McCarthy there with him? How does that work?
I don't know. And there are other organizations where you don't have the same nebulous issues of who's making those football decisions. But it was just, you could have firmed everything up. You could have gone back to what it was supposed to be when you hired Ryan Pace. I said, this guy's in charge. All right, you're keeping John Fox. Why? What encourages you? Why are you so excited? And he might have had a perfectly reasonable answer. A perfectly plausible answer, saying yes, and with his ass on the line, and say, it is my call. I'm not firing John Fox because I believe John Fox is going to lead us to a Super Bowl. Really? Okay. Great.
Why do you believe after a 3-win season, John Fox should retain his job?
Right.
What's going to be different next year? Well, with John Fox as the head coach.
That's like when John Paxson and Gar Forman had the hastily thrown together end of year, their own postmortem. They did it right after the game. And look, they're all big boys. When John Paxson says Gar is whatever he is, Gar is stable in his position. And Joe Cowley said, well, why is that? You can ask these questions.
Right.
These are grown men who make a lot of money in their jobs who should be able to handle these questions.
Right, they shouldn't need to be protected.
And exactly. Coaches always say stuff. Oh, you're hired to get fired. It's all a matter of time. Coaches know it.
Right.
Just ask the damn questions. Ask. They answer them. Y'all go home. Half the time, you guys go to the same bar. You have a beer together.
I gotta be honest with you. I'm relieved he's not fired.
Why?
Because I don't know if I could go through another coaching search. You know, the stupidity and the foolishness that would be on display.
See,
Ernie Accorsi bringing in another consultant to consult a consultant to talk about who they should hire.
I loved Phil Emery's coaching search. Remember? Because he interviewed everybody.
Bruce Arians.
People. No, but I hated the result. I wanted to give it a chance. But I loved the way he went about it. Being that thorough, getting all that free information. But you're right. I don't think I could stop.
No, I wouldn't want to. I wouldn't be able to.
No. It's going to happen next year. You know.
Ernie, of course, he comes in and, you know, tell him to interview the guy that's working down the hall.
That's the best job.
Right.
Ernie, of course, he has the best job. Ernie, what do you think? I give you a list of names. Well, is this the same one that they read on Twitter? Yeah, that'll be $250,000. And get some Triscuits for the thing in my head.
The best was, you know, he's good buddies with John Fox. John Fox loses his job in Denver, and Ernie Corsi says, you guys ever consider John Fox?
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute.
That's an awesome idea.
It's a good
Ernie.
Idea. It is. Of course it is.
All right, lunch.
he walks out of the room, calls Fox on his phone. John,
hey.
I think I just got you hired.
And I just made like $250,000 for about 15 minutes of work. I'm going golfing.
John's like, I didn't want a job.
Hey, what do you think, animal that lives in my head? yes.
Call John Fox.
Yes, of course.
Call John Fox.
Right. It uncoils. It's an actual fox. See? Hub Arkish continues our football.
I see what you did there.
Conversation.
A little quicker than the Rat Pack thing.
Yeah, that took me a while.
God, he's a lead singer of the Rat Pack. He's an animal.
He's a mouse-like animal.
Yeah, it could be a squirrel.
He might be a vole, perhaps.
Not sure what it was.
No, I guess he's an actual rat. Matt Abaticola, Dan Bernstein. Hub will take phone calls. What do you think? Phone calls, yes?
Yeah, like sure, that? Absolutely. About anything. Ask Hub anything.
No, we're not doing Ask Hub anything.
Ask Hub anything.
Hub was tying them in knots today, so we can congratulate him on some of that stuff. 312-644-6767. Bears and NFL. Bears making some news today. George McCaskey will be live in these studios with the Mully and Hanley Show. David Haw in for Mike Mulligan tomorrow, 8 o'clock on The Score.
25 years of Terry Bors.
Real band.
Terry's final show on The Score.
Just tired of you, dumbass.
Tomorrow, starting at 1. Do not miss this historic Score special.
I'm a fitness friend.
Live from our Blue Cross Blue Shield performance stage, featuring a list of incredible special guests.
I can't trust anybody but me to do it.
On Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station. Presented by Pearl Mortgage.
Hey there, friends. If you're looking for tickets for anything, I mean, what's coming up in town? We have hockey games. We have basketball games. There's college basketball games. Maybe you want to go to a play or a musical. There's theaters all over downtown. Well, the best place to look for tickets is SeatGeek. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. It really is the easiest way to find tickets. Now, with SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because what they do is they price compare for you by searching multiple ticket sites. So it saves you lots of time. Also, SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. And this is my favorite feature of the app. When you open the venue you're going to, you'll see green dots, you'll see red dots. The larger, darker green dots, those are the best value seats. See, they give them a grade. They save you even more time. You go to those seats immediately, but you'll find something for every budget on SeatGeek. Also, when you buy on SeatGeek, it's backed by their 100% guarantee, so you can shop for tickets with confidence using SeatGeek. And I can give all of you out there a $20 rebate on your first SeatGeek purchase. So here's what you do. You download the SeatGeek app. You go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. You enter promo code Matt, M-A-T-T. That's me. I'm a promo code. And SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first purchase. Download the SeatGeek app. Enter promo code Matt. Do it today. Remember, hockey, basketball, college basketball, concerts, musicals, Broadway plays, whatever, it's all there for you on SeatGeek.
Are you looking for the right path forward? It begins at the University of Illinois Springfield. Get a degree in criminal justice, political science, public administration, and more. Get a U of I degree at the school that's the right size for you. Get inspired at the University of Illinois Springfield, where you will get the education that you expect. Learn more on how to apply. Click on the banner or go to uis.edu/insideuis to learn more on how to apply.
The material handling equipment industry has been around since the dawn of machines, so why not choose the company that's been there from the start? Equipment Depot is the largest independent forklift dealer in the U.S. So whether you're moving products or building, they've got you covered with the leading brands of forklifts and aerial lifts. Their goal is to continue breaking barriers and becoming the company you can't imagine living without. For new and used forklift sales, service, parts, and rental, Equipment Depot is equipped to serve. The best equipment, the best service, guaranteed. 35 locations and online at eqdepot.com.
This week's most popular music. 14 years ago, 2003.
Number 3.
Nelly, Air Force Ones.
Number 2.
Missy Elliott, Work It. Is it worth it? Let me work it. I put my thing down. And the number one song this week. 14 years ago in 2003. Eminem, Lose Yourself.
Let's go inside the mind of a 10-year-old.
I should have worn earrings today.
Buckle up, Sarah.
Michaela's got, like, the best earrings.
Sarah, buckle up.
I wish my name was Michaela.
We're not hitting the road until you buckle up, honey.
Oh, yeah. Seatbelt. I wonder if there's pizza at school today.
It can be tough getting through to kids, but it's your job to make sure they're wearing your seatbelts. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.
History. Aretha Franklin became the first woman inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this week in 1987. This week in 1997, Sonny Bono was killed in a skiing accident at age 62. Britney Spears had her surprise marriage